Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Man, it is so, so good to be with you today as we're singing together, as we're gathered together to open up God's truth for us this morning. It is my honor for your guest. I just want to welcome you. Man, we're so excited that you're here, and we're a pretty simple church. At least we try to be simple. We want to be about Jesus, the presence of the living God. That's what we gather around. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a worship band. It's about the presence of God, because in the presence of God, everything is possible. Amen? And so in this series, we've been talking about the presence of God and really been talking about how we sometimes put the potential of what God could do into a box. And so we've been in a series that talks about in a box, that we sometimes put God there and we question sometimes, or we think about God in some ways that sometimes don't limit God, but limit how we experience God, right? Okay, God can do that for that person over there because they're super religious, or they go to church all the time, but God's not going to do that in my life. And so sometimes we place God and what he wants to do in a box. And so today I want to try to blow up another box by the power of the Spirit. All right, anybody else want some blowing up boxes? That's just my nature. Like, I'm like, come on. Like, I want all of God. And if I don't have all of God, which I don't, I want him to show me and pull me closer to the heart of the Father this morning. So that's my prayer for all of us today. And we're going to start with kind of the beginning with the end in mind. If you're a facilitator at all, you know that sometimes a style of facilitating is to you begin with where you hope to go and what the fruit of that is. And so today I want to start out with this list, because what we're going to talk about today, it ends in this list of things that are potential. And so I would love for you to write these down. If you have a Bible, go ahead and grab that out. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 in a second. So here's this list. So what we're going to talk about today, it leads us to these things. So number one, edification. That's a good word for build up, kind of equipping, empowering. Edification of ourself, so me, but also in others. A means of evangelism, getting the word of Jesus, the truth of God, outside of the four walls of this building, which we all know that's the whole point of this whole thing. It's not to have some holy gathering. It's to go out and release the peace of Jesus, the love of Jesus, right? So it's a means of evangelism. It's a means of effective prayer. Anybody else think that your prayers, you'd like, I want a little extra juice on my prayers, some effectiveness. Anybody else besides me? I hope we got many hands raised. Like, I want to have effective prayer. Means of worshiping God. One of the ways that we worship God is through our singing, but also, all the things that we do in life, when we step in obedience with God, we are worshiping. So this is an expression of worship. It's a means of helping other people out. And lastly, it's an expression of faith. This is what we're going to talk about today. So can we agree, this is a pretty good list, if you're like, man, I want some more of this. Anybody else think that's a pretty good list, right? Now, as your pastor, if I knew this one thing that would lead to these things, and I kept that to myself, would that make me a good pastor? Everybody say a little louder. We can say no in church. It's okay. No, right? Maybe we need to say a little bit more no in church, right? No, it would make me a bad pastor if I had the thing behind this and I kept it from you. So today, I want to talk about something that I've never actually preached the whole message on. And so I'm excited. I'm so excited because my identity in the kingdom is pathblazer. So I love to go places where nobody's ever gone before. I love to lead people to places that nobody's ever gone. That's why we're doing a series outside the box, in the box, whatever you call it. This is what I love. I live for this. So I don't know about you, but my juices are flowing this morning. Like, I'm excited. I'm going to be hyped up. Anybody else hyped up today? Can you give me a little something? I know time change. All right, so we're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 2, so grab a Bible, Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's some on the table back here. Grab one on your way out. Bring it back next week. Enjoy it throughout the week. You don't just have to read your Bible on Sunday. Amen to that. Hey, somebody heard that. Yeah. All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. So remember, Jesus, when he was walking the earth, he foreshadowed there'd be a day where he was going to be killed, and he said 3 days later he was going to be brought back to life, and this is what we talk about, right? This is the whole crux of our faith, is that Jesus was killed, but he lives today, right? And then for 40 days, he navigated the earth, talking, walking with his disciples. He revealed himself to hundreds of different people. And then at the very end of the 40 days, he said, guys, listen, I'm not going to be with you. And so here's what I need you to do. I need you just to chill out when I leave. Probably not that translation in your Bible, but I just need you to wait. Because I'm going to send the promise of the Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to give you power. Power to be my witnesses. Power to know what to say when you're put before kings and princes. And he's going to be there to teach you and guide you. And so he said, wait. And so the 120, they see Jesus ascend to where he is today at the right hand of the Father, in a place of authority, a place of honor. And so then they gather together in a room, an upper room. They're kind of a little intimidated because Jesus, their leader, has been killed. And so what's that mean for them if they're associated with him? Maybe I'll be killed. And so they're gathered up in what we know is the upper room, 120 of men and women together. And they're praying. They're having a prayer meeting. And this prayer meeting goes for one day. You think we have long services. Imagine 10 days of prayer, right? Some of you are like, yeah, I couldn't do that, right? Give me some food. Give me something else. But 10 days they're in this upper room and they're praying. And then on the 10th day, the fulfillment of what Jesus said would happen actually comes to pass. We're going to read this story, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So this is when the day of Pentecost, that was a holiday, a festival, arrived, they were all together in one place, in the upper room. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. At the sound of this, the multitude came. So there's a big crowd outside. They heard the commotion. They all came to see what this commotion was. As they came together, they were bewildered, like, what is going on? Because each one of them was hearing the 120 speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not these all that are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. The visitors from, don't judge me, by the way. I lost an hour of sleep. I'm trying to read this. Don't be judging. I know you're cracking a smile. It's early. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, visitors from Rome, both the Jews and the proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God. Everybody say mighty works of God. So they hear them speaking the mighty works of God in their own language, and they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? So I've got a language. I know those people don't know my language, but I'm hearing them speak in my language, and what they're saying is mighty works of God. They're worshiping God. And they say, what is the meaning of this? And this is my hope today. I want to dive into what is the meaning of this? What was the purpose of this in Acts chapter 2? What is the purpose of this? And so today, I want to tackle what was going on here in Acts chapter 2. Today, I want to tackle, that's how I'm doing it. I'm going to talk about tackling the gift of tongues, what we see in the scripture, this gift that maybe you've heard of, but maybe you haven't. Maybe we got some people in the room, you're like, yes, I love it. You got some people in the room that like, man, I don't want to talk about this. And some of us are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Hang on. If you're in any of those places, I want to ask you just to be open today to what God would teach you, what he would open up, and then we test it against the scriptures. Now, this word tongue in the scripture is a word that is spelled glossa, G-L-O with a long O over it, S-S-A, glossa. It is a tongue, a physical tongue, you know, like the Rolling Stones, like that tongue is a physical tongue, but more applicable to what we're going to talk about today, it is another word for a language. So everybody say language, language. And so when we see him say the gift of tongues, when we see Paul, or we see that they had variety of tongues, they're not talking about like one had a red tongue, one had a green tongue, one had a yellow tongue. That would be weird. He's saying that they spoke different what? Languages, right? And so today I want to open up the scriptures and talk about what is this gift of languages about? What is it about? And some of us, we don't know what it is. Some of us are offended that we would talk about it in church. Some of us are, can't wait to hear what I'm going to say. And so I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say too. It's going to be great. But we're going to talk about this gift of tongues. And so to be completely transparent with you, I grew up in a place that never talked about the gift of tongues. Grew up in church. My grandfather's a pastor. Never heard one person utter a word about the gift of tongues until I was about 25 years old. I started studying the scripture for myself, started pursuing the Lord. And it was in that time where I first experienced this language that we call the gift of tongues. And so I want to talk about today. But I also want to be transparent so that you know where I'm coming from is that my wife, Kate, who loves Jesus with all her heart, she's taught me more about Jesus than anybody else. And she doesn't operate in the gift of tongues. So can we all just take a deep breath? It's good, right? So this gift of tongues. And here's the reality. There are all kinds of different theology, different doctrine, different traditions about that. And so as I start, I want to unpack a few things that I think hinder us from receiving what is real truth. And the first thing I want you to write down is that a lack of experience shouldn't form our doctrine. A lack of experience shouldn't form our doctrine or our theology, how we view God, what we believe about God. That's what those words mean, right? So it's true for everything in our life. Just because I've never experienced the running of the bulls doesn't mean that it's not happening, right? Just because I haven't experienced something doesn't mean that it's not relevant to me today or that it actually is happening. And if we took this theology, sometimes we think of, okay, I've never experienced a prayer language, or I've never experienced tongues, therefore it must not exist. What if we did that with everything in the Bible? I don't think we would have a doctrine on eternal life if we took that approach. I laughed out loud when I did that in my basement when I talked about that. You know why? None of y'all had experienced eternal life after death. Yet what do we have? We have a theology. We have a doctrine about something we've never experienced before. Right? And so why would we take that approach and apply it to certain gifts of the Spirit of God that we're going to read about today? I don't think we should. I think just because we haven't experienced something like healing, like a prayer language or a tongue or a word of knowledge or prophecy, doesn't mean that it does not exist. We always want to come back to our plumb line, which is what? The Bible. We always want to come back to the perfect Word of God that gives us truth. And so that's where we're going to be today, as we're going to be looking at. So that's number one, kind of what do we do? But the reason why I want to talk about this today is because I have been getting tons of questions about this topic. It's been incredible. I have young people coming up to me and saying, hey, you know, what is this tongue thing? I've got old people coming up, older people coming up and asking me about this question. And here's the really crazy part that I'm so excited about is we have many people in our church, people that you're sitting with, that are experiencing this gift of tongues in their own life. And they're coming to me and saying, Derek, is this biblical? Is this of God? And so I want you to know that we embrace all of the scriptures, including the gifts of God. That is not a new stance for our church. That's been the existence of our church. We've always embraced the fullness of the work of the Holy Spirit. So today I hope to unpack that, but one of the things that really triggered me to say, man, I really need to teach on this is 2 weeks ago when I was talking about prophecy, I came down these stairs over here and there was a sweet lady who was a little bit older, she's older, and she had her Bible and she started out by saying, man, I love the sermon, which is a great way to start. Like if you come up and say, man, I hated your sermon, probably gonna go a little different. But she said, I love the message today, but I've got some questions. Which is a great place to be in, right? We should always hold up what I'm talking about or whoever's talking about it. We should hold it up to the scriptures. Is this of God or not? So she says, I get the whole prophecy thing, but I read ahead. And she felt like bad about that. And I was like, no. Please read your Bible for yourself. Like that goes for all of y'all. Like please, like if I stop, like go ahead the next week and read the rest of the scripture. That's a good thing. Like we don't just read on Sundays, amen, right? So she's like, I read ahead. And I'm like, great. She's like, I'm really confused because after prophecy, it starts to talk about this tongue thing and I don't get it. And I went to a church once and I was excited to be there and 10 minutes in, it got crazy. I didn't know what was going on and I felt in my spirit it was not from the Lord. And so I left. And so I don't know what to think about this. And I said, man, that's so great. I love your honesty first and foremost, but here's what I need. I just give me 2 weeks. And I'm going to preach on that gift. And here's the next thing I want you to write down in your notes, is that misuse should not keep us from proper use. Now, this goes for everything in your life. Misuse should not keep us from proper use, because some of us in this room, you've seen some of the gifts of the Spirit improperly used. And so sometimes we get gun-shy, we have some hurts, we have some wounds, and therefore we put this theology that said, well, it's misused, so therefore I'm not going to even think it's relevant today. But we don't do that with anything else, right? Just think about the good gifts of God. So I'm just going to wake some of the men up in the room. Just think about one of the good gifts of God, sex. Everybody woke up, right? Talking about sex in church. Yes, we're talking about sex in church. It is a good gift from God. God did not close his eyes when Adam and Eve procreated. He designed us for it. It is good. It's between a covenant relationship between man and a woman in marriage. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful gift from God. Can we all say amen to that? Some of you a little louder than others, right? Come on. Let's wake up a little bit. It's good, right? So it's a good gift from God. But here's the reality. People misuse sex every day. You got an entire industry called pornography that misuses this incredible gift of sex. You got people that are in affairs outside of their marriage having sex. You've got people that take it and they abuse other people. You got rape. All of these horrible, evil things. And yet if we applied this thought, okay, if it's misused, I can't use it to sex, guess what that means? None of y'all are ever having sex again. And we just had a mass exodus from our church, including the pastor. Right? Why is that? Why is that? Listen, why is that? Because God is good, his gifts are good, but the application is not always good. But that should not make us fearful to actually try to see the good gifts of the Father be used properly. It goes for the gift of tongues. Man, there's so much misuse in prophecy, all these things. But that shouldn't say, man, we want to see what it looks like to honor God and to pursue Jesus and to see these things lived out in our lives. So improper use or misuse should not keep us from actually engaging properly with these gifts. Now, as we're talking about gifts and as you read your scripture, because I know you're going to read ahead. I hope you read ahead. As you open up this week and you turn to 1 Corinthians 12 or 1 Corinthians 13 or 1 Corinthians 14, I would highly suggest that you read those three chapters this week after I teach on this. And as you're reading, though, it can be a little confusing because what Paul is actually using, he's using the same word, glossa, that word tongue, to describe several different varieties of this expression of this gift. So I'm going to give you three that I think are in the scripture that'll help you as you're navigating the scriptures, trying to figure out what is Paul talking about. One place he says that not everybody speaks in tongues. And another place he said, I wish all of y'all speak in tongues. What is he saying? And I believe they're different. So I want you to write this down. First, there's two public gifts of tongues, two public tongues. Number one is that it is a known language. We see this in Acts chapter 2. They weren't speaking a bunch of gibberish. They were speaking in other languages that people actually knew, okay? So they were speaking. So if it was like me, you know, I speak English. Southeastern Ohio, born and raised, you know, we didn't get out much. And so I speak English. If I was up here or I was talking to Jeff or somebody and I began to speak in Italian, my wife would love it, but that would be what? That would be an operation of a public gift of the tongue that is of a known language, right? So we see this often. Actually, one person on our staff, we were talking this week, and they said they were in, I think it was Puerto Rico. You know, they were speaking a lot of Hispanic and Spanish-speaking people there, obviously. So she was there, and she wanted to invite this person to their service that night where they were going to have a presentation of Jesus. But her Spanish was horrible. And so, you know, she's in that conversation. It's like many of you and I, most Americans, what do when we in a situation like that? We talk louder and we hold out our syllables. Come tonight. Like that's going to help any translation, right? But that's how we are. We're just human, right? And so she's having this conversation and it's not going really well. And then all of a sudden, though, the conversation starts picking up. Boom, 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 boom. And her friend's sitting there and watching this whole thing. And boom, 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 boom. And then the guy gets up and leaves. And her friend looks at her and her eyes are like this big. And she said, when did you learn Spanish? She's like, I don't know Spanish. She's like, well, you just spoke completely in perfect Spanish to this guy who spoke Spanish. She's like, I don't speak in Spanish. What was that an example of? What we see in Acts chapter 2, the gift of tongues of a known language, right? It's for unbelievers. This is the gift that he says is actually for people that are outside the church. So it's a public tongue meant for somebody else of a known language. But there's also another public tongue, and that is an unknown language. An unknown language, what we would call maybe a heavenly language. And this language is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 when he's going through the gifts of the Spirit. And he says that there's this variety of tongues, and then there's also interpretation. So this is a language that the person who's speaking doesn't know, but it's also not able to translate it because nobody else knows about it. What we would call is it's a heavenly language. And it requires God to give an interpretation through another person, all right? And so with these public tongues, it's for another person, not for you. It's for the church or for somebody else. And I would say, just real clear, I think they're pretty rare, these first two. I think they're pretty rare. And if I'm just being completely honest with you, as your pastor, I've never seen these first two types of tongues actually play out in my presence. Never seen it. I would love to see that. I would love to participate that, but I've never seen it. So these first two, these public gifts, they require a couple things. First, they require a translation or interpretation. So if somebody stands up in a public setting, whether it's one person, five people, 10 people, 1,000 people, and they give a tongue, here's what you need to know. It requires a translation or interpretation if it's from God. If there is no translation, if there is no interpretation, you say, thank you very much for your courage, but please sit down because that's not from God. And you know what that does? What Paul lays out clearly, it stops the cray-cray happening in a church. It stops somebody from standing up and that person standing up. No, every tongue, a public tongue, requires an interpretation or translation, everyone. And also, all these tongues, these two specifically, they always encourage other people, every one of them. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that these gifts that are from God are meant to build up the church, right? And so those two are there, but there's a third kind, and it's the kind that I operated in, the kind that I experienced. And this third kind is what I call a private or a private language or a private tongue. And its focus is prayer and intercession. How many of you have heard of a prayer language before? Have you just ever heard that word before? So this is what we're talking about here. When we say a prayer language, it is a tongue, but it's not a public tongue. Like, it's not where I get up in front of people. It's a tongue where I talk to God, and I may not know what I'm actually praying. I'm praying for somebody else, or I'm just praying. And so we see this throughout the scriptures. I'm going to read this from 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 14. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, this is Paul speaking, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what he's saying, I'm praying in a language I do not know, so my mind does not comprehend it, even though my spirit man understands it. He says, what am I to do? This is what he answers. He said, I will pray with my spirit. I'll pray in tongues in a prayer language, but I also pray with my mind also. It's not one or the other. It's both. And then he said, I will sing praise in my spirit. So I'll put that tongue or that language to a melody, but I will also sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying, right? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Do you know Paul said that? I thank God, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, that I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. He said y'all, by the way. And then 19, Paul says on the heels of that. So we need to hear this, church. He says, I pray more than all y'all. But he said, nevertheless, it's important when we see this word. Nevertheless, in church, in a public setting, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct them than 10,000 words in a tongue. Do you see the beautiful balance that Paul says, right? He says, man, there has to be order. There has to be some structure. Like, if he's getting up to preach, he's not going to spend 30 minutes praying in a tongue, although he could do that. He said, no. Instead, I'll give you 5 words that build up the church instead of showing you that I can pray in a prayer language. Do you see the balance? The first two are pretty rare, this public tongue. But a private tongue, what Paul said is he was doing it all the time. And this is my own experience. You know, every Sunday morning before I get up here and preach, there's a couple things that happen. First, as I'm sitting down here, I'm doing two things. I'm saying, Lord, increase my love for you. And then I say, Lord, will you help me love these people? As I've said before, some of y'all are just hard to love. And so, just joking. I'm hard to love sometimes. That's my wife. So, Lord, will you help me love you? And because what Paul said first, he said, what? Pursue love. That's what he said first. Verse of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, pursue love and then desire the spiritual gifts. So I'm asking God, increase my love for you, increase my love for these people, for this region of the world that you've placed me in. And then what I do every Sunday, and this is going to show you, and you may think I'm weird anyhow, that's all right, I'm not that weird, but I stand down here and I pray in my prayer language that nobody else knows, that I don't know what I'm saying, but what I'm doing in that moment is I'm yielding to God. I'm saying, God, I want to be used by you. And so, man, use even my words. I submit them to you, and I pray that he would empower me, that he would allow me to speak with boldness and humility when I get up here. This is what a prayer language is, and this is what I think is very, very relevant to our church. And one of the other ways I use this is when we're in a gathering of prayer people, you know, deacons praying, and there's somebody else praying. When I'm there and I'm not praying, guess what I'm doing? I'm not just thinking about dinner. Sometimes I am, but I'm praying to myself because it's not meant to be a public, just me and God. I'm praying in a prayer language. And when I do that, for whatever reason, God tends to give me words It gives me pictures so that I can actually have more effective prayer in my prayer language. So that when I speak, not of my prayer language, but when I speak in English over somebody for healing or for, you know, addiction, I'm edifying them, right? Do you see how this works? It's not a weird, crazy thing. It's a beautiful gift that God's given us. Now there's a couple things I would love for you to consider. There's a couple things I want you to know about what a prayer language is not or what tongues are not. And so I've got a list here that I'd love for you to write down. So tongues, they are not a sign of spiritual maturity, okay? I need everybody to hear this, that people that have a gift of praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, they are not better than anybody else. Because I can tell you, my wife, her love for Jesus sometimes is overwhelming compared to mine. She doesn't pray in tongues, I do, right? It's not a sign of maturity. And we see this in the scripture all the time. In the book of Acts, when somebody receives the Spirit, what do? They begin to speak in tongues before they ever had any time to mature in their faith. New believer, praying in tongues, that's not maturity. You know why? Because the gift of tongues is a gift and not a reward. I need you to hear this. These gifts of God are literally that. They're gifts, not rewards. Not you've done your thing, you've done the right thing and not done the wrong thing. No, it's a gift that is given to us, right? Number two is that gift of tongues is not uncontrollable speech. It's not like I can't help myself, I just go crazy, I gotta get it out. No. Actually, what Paul says very clearly is that you actually can control yourself when you're praying and speaking in tongues. That's why he says, two or three of you get up and share. Not 10 of you because you can't control yourself. No, you control yourself. Two or three get up and share in a small group setting. The best way I've come to describe it in my own life and what I've talked to others, it's like a light switch. Electricity is going to that light switch all the time, right? It's on demand. Man, that's flowing. But that light doesn't come on until what? Until I flip the switch. And then guess when it goes off? When I turn the switch off. See, sometimes we think about this gift and we're like, man, God's just gonna take over my body. And I'm gonna tell you, no. If you're operating with this true gift is you can actually shut your mouth. And you can walk in humility to know when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate, if it's of the Lord, right? And so it's not uncontrollable speech. And the last thing it's not irrelevant for believers today. I believe that each one of us should be asking for this specific gift to build yourself up, to make your prayers even more aligned with the King. And I long, just as Paul said, man, I wish all of our church prayed in tongues. All of us had a prayer language. I do pray for that. Three things that it is. It's a good gift from the Holy Spirit. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12. If God is good, as we sing about, as we believe he is, then anything he gives us is good. It's for our good. It's a means of building people up, and it's also an expression of our faith to what? The end game is always to glorify God in everything we do. That's the end game of this gift. And so you say, Derek, today, what you're talking about doesn't sound like something cray-cray. It sounds a little peculiar, and it is peculiar. For the first time in your life, maybe you're like, man, I would love to have that. Like what you're talking about today, that thing that you're talking about, not the crazy, but what you're talking about in the scriptures, the truth, you want that, I would say that's great. That's given to you by God. You say, what do you do? Well, here's what we see. If you're like, man, I would love to have this gift and operate in this gift, here's what we do. We see in the scriptures, Paul says to what? Desire spiritual gifts. That means ask. That means keep on asking. So if you want this gift today, man, you begin to ask today. As I know many of you in this room have told me that you've been asking God for this gift. That's beautiful. You know why it's beautiful? Because it draws you to the Father. We also see in the book of Acts that sometimes the Holy Spirit comes down on a group of people and they begin to speak in tongues, not because they asked for it, but because the Spirit of God has come down so strong, they begin to proclaim the goodness of God, the glory of God. But more times than not, what we see in the book of Acts, and this played out, is that somebody comes and prays for somebody else. They invite the Spirit to come, and as they do, they begin to pray or speak in a language that they did not know, right? So at the end of the service, after we sing this last song, there's gonna be an opportunity for you to respond. If you're like, man, I wanna have that in my life, we would love to follow Scripture, and we would love to pray that you would experience this good gift from the Father. I want to close with what Paul finishes this section. This is super important that we keep this as the center. So Paul says, so my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Listen, we're going to be a church that centers on the Word of God. The Word of God says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Regardless if it's outside of our box or not, we're not going to be that church. We're going to say, man, it says right here, do not forbid speaking in tongues. He says, but all things should be done decently and in order. It's beautiful when it's done that way. And then look what Paul continued to say. I think this is beautiful. So he just spent some time in this letter to the church of Corinth, and he's talking about these spiritual gifts. He's addressing some concerns. And then this is what he closes. He says, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and which you stand in, by which you are being saved." See, I love Paul's heart, man. I'll talk about spiritual gifts. I'll talk about prophecy and tongues and signs and dreams and wonders and miracles. I'll talk about that. But listen, at the end of the day, we got to be centered on this one thing, Jesus. The King has come and he has offered us to be related back to the Father in perfect unity. So look, as a church, man, we want all that God has. Hear me. We want all of it. Whatever it is, even if it makes me uncomfortable, we want it. If it offends me, man, if it's from God, I want it. I want it. But at the end of the day, what we're going to be centered on is what Paul said is, listen, don't lose sight of why you're even here. The King has come and you are one with him. Live like that. Live like that. So I'm gonna invite you to stand. We're gonna sing a song that talks about praising God, worshiping God. And as we do that, and you're like, man, I would love to have this gift, I wanna invite you just to even ask why we're singing. You don't have to wait till prayer time. Ask God that he would give you this gift. And as we're singing, just see if he would give it to you. So let's sing this together.